admit, will bring about the key to change. There's a student that started coming and gave her life to the Lord in a youth group I was a part of. When found out that some of the literature was sent home with this student, and one of the parents read about how you come through salvation and how you begin by saying that you're a sinner. And this parent came and said, "I'm not sure that I want my child to be a part of this because you don't believe that you're a sinner." I'm like, "Oh, Lord, lady, that's a scary thing." I mean, to say, we want you to make excuses the rest of your life. We want you to deny the truth of when you fall short. The Bible says that we all have sinned and that we all fall short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad that God takes care of our falling shorts, though? Double entendre there, pun intended. God takes care of it, but we have to admit, I have sinned. No excuses were made. He just honestly said, "I've sinned." You know, I understand, and as we look at in counseling and stuff, we might go back and we might say, "Well, you know, I have a propensity to this because I came from this type of background. You know, I'm more prone to be an alcoholic because my parents were alcoholics, or I have troubles hanging on in a marriage because I've felt this abandonment issue." And those are very, very real issues. But there comes a point when you just say, "You know what? I've sinned." And you just have to deal with the sin. My father, who's here today, pastor and a great counselor, and I remember when I was a boy, when he was going through school, becoming a counselor and seeing all of the studies that he had done. And then when I was then going through seminary and beginning to study and working on this and seeing different counseling techniques and different theories, I asked my dad one day, I said, "Dad, what kind of counseling theory do you use?" And he goes, "Well, I kind of go with, it's Glasser, right? I go with Glasser, and it's basically," and I said, "Okay, what theory is that?" And he goes, "It's reality therapy." And so we're driving in Kansas City, he's telling me about reality therapy. This is my understanding of reality therapy. If what you're doing doesn't give you what you want, quit doing what you're doing. Dad, is that right? I'm like, how much school did you go to learn that? Right? If it ain't working, stop it, you know? Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that, right? But you see, coming to that place of admitting I've sinned and quit making excuses and saying, "You know what? I've got to change my behavior. I've got to change." That is key. The psalm that David wrote that's become so profound at this time, I'd like to read it for you. Psalm 51. He pens this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from the blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Notice what David said about his sin. He said, God, it's against you, and you only have I sinned. There's a lot of fallout, but we need to understand that when we sin, it is ultimately and primarily a sin against God. That's how you know that you can never get away from it, because God sees everything. And when you hurt somebody that's near you, you're hurting God's own heart. David recognized that the sin affected many people, but the heart of the sin was an affront to God. Notice what he says. He says, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. He recognized that there was something about it, that if he continued to live a life going that he was, that there would be an injury to the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, we said that the Holy Spirit's always convicting. If it's been a long time since you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you need to be very careful. You've probably immuned yourself to his bidding. He says, restore to me the joy of salvation. You see, sin affects your relationship with God. Now, the church will argue until Jesus comes whether or not you're once saved, always saved, or whether or not you can lose your salvation. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is in a relational matter, if you have sin in your life, your relationship with God will not be strong. It will not be what God intended. In no way had David lost his salvation that we can see with. See, so many times we ask the wrong questions. They wonder how much can they sin before they will be sent to hell? How much can I get by with and barely make it into heaven? But if you're asking that question, you have already lost the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation is much more than an eternal question. It's a daily question of living clean and pure before the Lord. I want you to hear this next thing, though. God forgives. God forgives. And when he cleanses us, he makes us whiter than snow. Because God also cleanses. God forgives and cleanses. I don't care how much you think you messed up your life, God still forgives. And God still cleanses. And his word still says that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God will still bring it back into line. But I got to be honest with you too. There are consequences. David and Bathsheba's son became ill and ultimately died. The sword entered David's household and other sons were lost. In fact, one son would ultimately turn against David himself. Did God forgive completely? Yes, but there are still consequences. I can remember this time that we're having a discussion with my oldest daughter, Lindsay, and she had a tendency to get in trouble. Just before Christmas break, she would get in trouble. And she spent like 3 years in a row of Christmas break being grounded. I don't know how. I think it was one of these times that she had done something and we were talking and we talked it through and she asked for forgiveness and I said, I do forgive you. And I said, but now we need to talk about consequences. She goes, Dad, just once, can't I get in trouble and there not be consequences? And I said, absolutely not. I said, you got to understand that as a parent, every consequence that I give you is much easier than what the world will give you. It may come sooner and it may seem more direct. But if I ignore this, if I don't teach you that there are consequences to every action that you take, then the world will be much rougher on that. So there were consequences. I want you to understand, if you're dealing with the consequences, the fruit of that sin, that doesn't mean that God has not forgiven. But it just means whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. You sow to the wind, you reap the whirlwind. That's a law of God. After Nathan, this is a scripture, 2 Samuel 12, verse 15, says, after Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the nights lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get up from the ground, but he refused, and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he will not listen to us. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering amongst themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He asked. Yes, they replied, he is dead. Then David got up from the ground. After he'd washed, put on lotions, and changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and at his request they served him food, and he ate. His servants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but now that the child is dead, you get up and eat? He answered, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No, but I will go to him, but he will not return to me. David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. Look at this next phrase. The Lord loved him. And because the Lord loved him, he sent word through Nathan the prophet to name him Jedidiah. You know what Jedidiah means? The one that the Lord loves. What does this tell us? When there are consequences, life goes on. You turn the chapter. You might have had a silent year. You might have had a year that things were really rough. You might have messed up. Maybe you're having a great year. Still, you got to turn the chapter. What's going on now is not the last chapter. Whatever you're facing right now, it is not the last chapter. Don't let it be. Don't let your disappointments or your failures be the last chapter in your life. Go on with life. And know that God loves you. David got up and washed himself and ate when the boar died. There must be a time when you go on with life. With all the love in my heart and all the compassion that's a part of this pastor, some of you that have been living of past mistakes or past disappointments, I want to tell you with the most sincere, compassionate way I can say, you need to go on. You need to get over it. You need to let go and turn the chapter. My mother was sharing the other day about a time that after she had lost her daughter, that my younger sister, she had been grieving for some time. There came a point when God spoke to her and said, you have to let go of the grief. You've been hanging on to that grief like an idol. Nothing could, you know, that's such a hard thing to think. But I want you to know that when you let go of the grief, when you let go of the disappointment, it does not mean that you're letting go of the person that you love that was involved in that. But it does mean that you're ready to go on with life. That you're ready because God wants you to enter into the next chapter of His love. The next chapter of His plan. It's time to turn the chapter. listen to me today. I believe that God wants you to hear him say, I love you. I want you to hear God say that he loves what he's going to be doing in the next year in your life. He loves you. His blessing is back. How many of you think Solomon was blessed? Right? Wisest man save Jesus that had ever lived. He had a lot of money. People gave him money because he was so smart. I've never had that happen. I don't know what that's saying. You can read into that however you want. But surely the blessings of God was on Solomon. And God wants to bless. He wants you to take you into a time of blessing. How many are ready to receive that? Just ready to say, this next year, I'm ready to walk into that blessing. I'm going to leave the past disappointments, my past sins. I'm going to leave them in the past. It's time to turn the chapter. God's plan is not thwarted by your mistake. Because his grace is greater than your sin. And his love never fails. Will you bow your heads with me?